Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Mark Matheny for We're Hit Radio and, of course, also Sick Thumper Tyrannus News. I will be doing the broadcast on YouTube as well for Sick Thumper Tyrannus News. But today is today's Friday. And, of course, there's a lot of things going on in the news. Bannon versus Trump and, you know, once again, the elites have run out of ideas. They've run out of ways to attack President Trump. We know that, you know, during the campaign, their main goal was to say that he was a racist and that he supported white supremacy and that he, you know, was being endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan and David Duke and these things, and that, you know, he refused to denounce you know, the alt-right attacks against the loving protesters that were just defending democracy. Wah, it makes me want to throw up. But nevertheless, that now in the news, if you've been listening or watching, there has been a book that's come out called Fire and Fury by a man named Michael Wolff. And in this book, there are, you know, a lot of things said about President Trump and the presidency and Russian collusion and all the same stuff that you've been hearing about, except this time this book is supposed to, you know, make everything, you know, true, because now it's written in a book by this guy, Michael Wolff. And supposedly he interviewed Steve Bannon and other people and he got all this information. So I'm going to talk about that, and as well, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the economic things that are going on, and also some other interesting things in the news, and that is Judicial Watch, because they are an organization that, you know, has really been pounding the Department of Justice and the FBI and you know, the courts and things to get information on what exactly happened with, you know, the whole Hillary Clinton email scandal. And then there's some other news out, too, that WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, all charges have been dropped against him, and that he may be coming back to the United States at some point, which is interesting. So I'm going to be talking about that as well. So there's a lot of things going on. Let's first look at this Michael Wolff character, because like I said, you know, all the other attempts at getting President Trump have failed. Really, their whole excuse me, have a little bit of a cold and I'm getting over. But, you know, they've tried to get the presidency. They've tried to get Donald Trump, President Trump, you know, in some kind of big Russian collusion scandal. But basically nothing has come out of it. You know, the left and the mainstream media is going to try to say that there's a lot going on. You know, we got Flynn, all we've got Manafort, we've got all these people. Well, Manafort's like suing them, and basically the only thing they got Flynn on was some procedural, you know, technicalities where he failed to, you know, the meeting and so on. But basically the content of the meeting and everything was basically, you know, nothing really took place in there. There was no passing of secret documents and, you know, things like this, no clandestine espionage or anything like that. But, you know, the left refuses to believe that. And listen, I go on Facebook every day, and I post articles, and I look through the news and so on. And I have friends out there, and I have, you know, people on my Facebook page that, you know, they're good friends of mine. I love them all. I care about them. But they basically troll me. And, you know, if they're listening, hey, listen, you guys know you troll me. Because they want to, I mean, I don't sit there and go through their pages every day and look at everything they post. And half the stuff that they do post, if it's anti-Trump, pro-Obama, or what have you, I don't even comment. You know, that's their opinion, and that's their right, and that's their page, and I'm not going to be disrespectful and go on their page and troll them and say things because I know we disagree, and that's just the way it is. And I think that, you know, a lot of people out there, we have to, you have to understand, listen, if you feel that you love America as much as I love America, you have a right to speak your mind and speak your opinion and you know, on your pages and your Facebook and so on, you have the right to put what you want on there. But, you know, if you have friends that disagree with you, if you disagree with them, that's fine. But, you know, you should try to be respectful. And, you know, I feel like you shouldn't troll them, you know. Once you've posted one or two things and said, hey, but, I mean, unless you come back with, you know, documented facts and so on, that's fine. And I don't have a problem with that if you want to do that. But to just rail on about how, you know, Trump is a coward and Trump is this and Trump is a racist and so on, you know, it just gets old. And but that's what happens. Nevertheless, like I say, let's get back to this Michael Wolff guy. Michael Wolff is, you know, stating, you know, that he wrote this book and basically saying that there's detailed accounts, embarrassing accounts of President Trump and everyone around him and how everybody says that Trump is stupid and, you know, and so on. There's just a bunch of stuff. But what's interesting is the author of the book, Michael Wolff, it's been known, I've seen plenty of reports where it said it's been known that this guy hasn't, he has a way of exaggerating and even just basically fabricating quotes and, you know, things like this, recollections and whatever about people. And so a lot of people are really questioning the book as to its authenticity. And what's interesting is in Business Insider, there was an article that says that the author of the explosive new book about Donald Trump's presidency acknowledged in an author's note that he wasn't certain of all of its content, that all of its content was true. Okay, Michael Wolff, the author of Fire and Fury, Inside the Trump White House, included a note at the start that cast significant doubt on the reliability of the specifics contained in the rest of its pages. Several of his sources, he says, were definitely lying to him, while some offered accounts that flatly contradicted those of others. And yet he's still going to publish the book. And here's the problem. You're going to have a bunch of these, you know, people out there who just want to find any reason to attack Trump and to cast aspersions on him and make him, you know, look like an idiot or unfit to run for presidency. They're going to use this book and they're going to agree with this book even after the book itself, in an author's note, states basically that some of these accounts contradict each other and contradict those of others, and that people were lying to him and so on. But nevertheless, he's still going to publish it and people are going to read it. And it says, but some were nonetheless included, even though, you know, these things were unverified or he felt that they were true or they contradicted. He still added it in the book, in this account of the West Wing's workings, in a process Wolff describes as allowing the reader to judge whether the source's claims are true. And here's what it says in the, you know, one portion of this book. On the 10th page of the book's prologue, it states, quote, many of the accounts of what has happened in the Trump White House are in conflict with one another. Many, in Trumpian fashion, are boldly untrue. These conflicts and the looseness with the truth, if not with the reality itself, are an elemental thread of the book. And he says, sometimes I have let the players offer their versions, in turn allowing the reader to judge them. In other instances, I have, through a consistency in the accounts and through sources, I have come to trust settle on a version of events I believe to be true. So this is like a big fairy tale book. Over the last 2 days, that's all you've heard about on the news, mainstream media, everywhere, about this stupid book. Okay? And, you know, when Sarah Sanders was, you know, asked about the book, she basically said, you know, this book is full of crap, you know, short and sweet, the short and sweet version of it. But I have that soundbite of Sarah Sanders. And if I can get to it, I have my technologically advanced computers here with several screens that I can see all my information on. And sometimes it's hard to get from one screen to another. But here I'm going to play Sarah Sanders talking about this in a White House press meeting. And I'll see if you, hopefully you can hear this.
Just, Sarah, follow up on this. White House staff, including Steve, have to sign non-disclosure agreements when they came to work at the White House.
There's an ethics agreement. Beyond that, I can't get into any additional details.
And does the president want to have Steve's support for anti-establishment political candidates going up in the midterm election?
The president wants all American support. He hopes that every American in this country wants to see us do bigger and better things. That's his focus. He's not trying to single out the support from any one individual, but he wants to bring everybody together to move this country forward. That's what he campaigned on, and that's what we've done over the last year, and that's what we're going to continue to do for the next 7 years. Yeah.
The White House has said there were false statements in this book. The president's lawyer has said there were libelous statements. Could you just give a few examples of things that have been said in this book that are false that you would like to set the record straight on?
I'm not going to go through every single page of the book, but there are numerous examples of falsehoods that take place in the book. I'll give you one just because it's really easy. The fact that there was a claim that the president didn't know who John Boehner was is pretty ridiculous, considering the majority of you have seen photos. And frankly, some of you have even tweeted out that the president not only knows him, but has played golf with him, tweeted about him. I mean, that's pretty simple and pretty basic. Ages of employees, which would be super easy to fact check, are wrong. Again, there are numerous mistakes, but I'm not going to waste my time or the country's time going page by page talking about a book that's complete fantasy and just full of tabloid gossip, because it's sad, pathetic, and our administration and our focus is going to be on moving the country forward.
Okay, so there you have it. You know, basically, I mean, they're saying that this book is full of nonsense, and the in the foreword of the book, he's basically saying it's full of nonsense. Excuse me. So, and yet, you know, now Bannon has come out recently. It, you know, as soon as this came out, you had different groups and different organizations, you know, calling out Steve Bannon and saying, you know, what's going on? Is this true? Did you say these things? Because there were certain things said by Steve Bannon as far as the president. They said basically the Russian meeting was treasonous. He stated that Ivanka Trump was dumb as a rock, basically something to that effect. Lots of different things that he stated. But basically, you know, like you said, Trump came out and said, you know, the guy went from losing his job to losing his mind. And then it seems like that Trump that Bannon tried to backpedal after that. On an interview, I believe, on Breitbart, when they were asking him questions, he basically said, oh, I support the president day in and day out. You know, I respect him, something to that effect. So it just kind of makes you wonder what exactly is going on. It was Trump or was Bannon, you know, jealous or was he upset, envious? Some reports are saying that he wants to run for president in 2020. So maybe he's trying to, make President Trump look bad now. It's hard to say exactly. But here is the this is the soundbite of Bannon on Breitbart talking about this in the interview. And they ask him a question about Trump, and this is his response.
President of the United States is a great man. You know, I support him day in and day out. Whether going through the country, giving the Trump miracle speech, or on the show or on the website, so I don't think you have to worry about that. But I appreciate the kind words. President of the United States is a...
So, you know, he stated basically that President Trump's a nice man, and I support him day in and day out, and so on. But... you know, how are you going to support the president and then turn around and say things like, you know, he's stupid or he's not fit to run for the presidency or he's not fit to be president. They make statements that claim that, President Trump was scared as hell when he won and his wife was crying because he won and they didn't really want him to win. That doesn't even make sense. Going to run a whole campaign and run all this time and spend millions of dollars so that you can't win it. You know, I mean, come on, people, we know he wanted to win. That's one thing here, short and sweet about this whole thing is just another distraction, an attack on Donald Trump to try to revive this hatred for him, to get him ousted from the presidency, to try to make him sound unfit or crazy or colluding or something. But and they're also trying to say that Trump can't read. I mean, it just goes on from one thing to another. Just wild and crazy, nonsensical accusations that don't mount up to anything. You know, this is what's happening. But basically, the real thing is they are trying to distract people from what is going on with in the news about Hillary Clinton, and because Judicial Watch and others are now they're starting to hear with their ears, see with their eyes. That the people want justice. So Judicial Watch has come out, and there's several things I could go through, but this is just one of them, one of 100 million things about the Clintons. And the latest one that comes out of the Judicial Watch press room is that there are now at least 18 classified emails found on Weiner's laptop, Anthony Weiner, Huma Abedin's husband or ex-husband, whatever he is now, jailbird. And this is breaking news, and this should be front page news. This should be on CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and everywhere else. But, you know, obviously the MSM news, the mainstream media, the lapdogs are not going to beat on, you know, Hillary Clinton because they're with her, you know, her saying. But Judicial Watch revealed that there was at least 18 classified emails in the 798 documents recently produced by the State Department from the FBI's investigation into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's illicit email system. And the emails were found on the laptop of Anthony Weiner, who's the estranged husband of the former Clinton aide, Huma Abedin. Now, Abedin at the time was Clinton's deputy of chief of staff, and Weiner obviously was the congressman who's been disgraced, who, you know, was caught pleading. Well, he pled guilty to transferring obscene material to a minor, pictures, wiener. And he kept, it says, Huma Abedin kept a non-state governmental email account on Hillary Clinton's notorious email server that she used repeatedly for government business. And there are five classified emails among 147 new Abedin work-related documents released by the State Department on Friday, December 29th, 2017. Now, you have to really catch that. These are classified emails, and you have to have security clearances, you know, to handle these classified emails. You can't just be passing these emails off to people who don't have that security status or classified email, you know, classified status, whatever that is. But yet 13 of these emails contained classified information. They were also found on Wiener's laptop computer, and they had already been released to the public. And these classified materials include discussions about Saudi Arabia, The Hague, Egypt, South Africa, Zimbabwe, the identity of a CIA official, Malawi, the war in Syria, Lebanon, Hamas, and the PLO. So all of these classified emails were detailing these things. And on two different occasions, the classified material was sent by Abedin on her ClintonEmail.com account to Wiener's laptop, or sent to Anthony Campaign, is what it said. So a private laptop, an unsecure laptop, and this was in November 25th of 2010, and the email discussed an upcoming call with Prince Saud of expected WikiLeaks leaks. It says Abedin sent classified information the following day to Wiener's laptop concerning the call that Jeff, who was presumably, they're saying, the Assistant Secretary of State Near Eastern Affairs, Jeffrey Feltman, but she said she called that Jeff had, let me start that one over. Abedin sent classified information the following day to Wiener's laptop concerning a call that Jeff had with United Arab Emirates Prince or Prime Minister Abdullah bin Zayed. And the Wiener laptop also had classified material from Abedin's BlackBerry. And it's a July 9th, 2011 email containing classified information regarding a then upcoming call between Clinton and the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. And then again on November 25th, 2011, another classified email or information was sent regarding Feltman's notes on the Egyptian Ministry of Foreign Affairs impression of Hamas Palestinian Liberation Organization talks. And then again, an additional classified email in May of 2012, material from the BlackBerry backup was sent. Now, Judicial Watch's work in this federal court holding, the government accountable to the rule of law, it says, has forced the State Department to finally release these documents, said Tom Fitton, who is the Judicial Watch president. He says the classified information on Wiener's laptop is part of a pattern of mishandling national security material by Clinton and her aides. And the Wiener emails emphasize the need for the Justice Department to conduct a fresh, serious investigation of Hillary Clinton's, Huma Abedin's, obvious violations of the law. That's why we're pleased to learn that the Justice Department, and this report is from January 4th, which was yesterday, and he says, that's why we're pleased to learn that the Justice Department has reportedly at least began asking questions about the Clinton classified material. Judicial Watch has no doubt that the Justice Department is taking steps due to ongoing disclosures of the Clinton email misconduct from Judicial Watch's lawsuits. So, I mean, at least, you know, this is a good thing because, you know, going back and thinking about this, what was one of President Trump's promises? You know, the classic last debate, that third debate, when you had Hillary Clinton up on the stage and Donald Trump up on the stage, and Hillary Clinton said, you know, it's a good thing that we don't have men like you, we don't have Donald Trump in charge of the law, or something to that effect. And Donald Trump at the time, campaign Donald Trump, turned around and said, yeah, because you'd be in jail. I mean, and it just blew my mind that day, because I was like, what the hell did he just say? And I mean, it was hilarious, but it blew my mind. Because, you know, and I know all Americans who wanted Trump to win, and when he said that, they all said, wow, this guy's actually going to put Hillary Clinton in jail. Well, he then also said that he would, you know, have a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton. But yet, 7 months later, you know, we haven't seen that. And we, you know, was talking with a friend of mine, Ron Stone, might be listening. But we were talking about it and discussing it. And he says, yeah, you know, we even had that big dinner, you know, roast where, you know, they were joking about each other. And President Trump, you know, was saying, oh, yeah, I bumped into Hillary Clinton. She said, pardon me. And he goes, you know, yeah, we'll talk about that after I'm elected. Well, and she laughs and everything. Well, the thing is, you know, I always wondered what was going on with that. I always thought, well, maybe he's holding that over her head to say, look, when I win the presidency, you just need to leave me alone or I will, you know, pursue you. I thought maybe that's the reason. You know, I just thought maybe he's just trying to be play it cool and say, look, I don't want to be suicided, you know, so just don't mess with me and I won't mess with you. But now, the more it seems like they attack President Trump and the administration and go after him, the more these things are being revealed now, that these emails are starting to surface again. The Department of Justice, the FBI are now, you know, looking into it. It says Jeff Sessions and them considering looking into the emails and, I believe, in the Uranium One deal. So these are good things, and hopefully they will press forward with this because it's about time. And it's not just to get Hillary Clinton, people. That's the thing. The main thing is the carrying out of justice. Because if you allow Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State to carry out illegal acts and classified information, endangering national security and endangering CIA agents. And some believe that some of these agents, as a result of some of these leaks, may have been killed, never seen again. This is, you know, this is treasonous. But they want to turn around and say that President Trump is committing treason. What is he committing treason about? Well, they don't have any reason for the treason. But with Hillary, you have lots of reasons. Now, in September of 2017, Judicial Watch made public Aberdeen's use of these unsecured email system, this Clinton email system, for the transmission of sensitive passwords, which is crazy. On August 18th, 2009, confidential assistant Monica Hanley provided Aberdeen with laptop FOB, which is a physical device that provides a login code, logins and passwords to log onto a laptop, as well as a secure State Department website at https://onestate.gov. Included were a PIN number and instructions on how to access her email from the secure State Department website, and then Aberdeen forwarded this information to her unsecure account. So they weren't using secure government setup email accounts and servers. They were using private servers and unsecured laptops to pass secure information. And, you know, so – in January, President Trump, you know, he's always tweeting. We know that he uses tweet like a master chef uses a bowl and a spoon, you know. And but he tweeted, he said, crooked Hillary's Clinton's top aide, Huma Abedin, has been accused of disregarding basic security protocols. She put classified passwords into the hands of foreign agents. Remember Saylor's pictures on the submarine? And what he was referring to, that soldier, that sailor who was, you know, stationed in on a submarine, who took a couple pictures so he could probably take home, show his friends, hey, look, man, I was cool. I was on a submarine. And he got jail. I think it was like 18 months, a court martial. And when he appeared on television, he appeared on Fox News and some other places. And, you know, he accepted his punishment. And he said, hey, I knew I wasn't supposed to take pictures, and I took pictures. The difference was he wasn't taking pictures, you know, sell to the Russians or anything. And, you know, he was just doing it to have a couple pictures. But he admitted that it was wrong, and he accepted his punishment. So yet when you have Comey come out, and, you know, and I've talked about this in the past, you had Peter Strzok and the FBI woman, lawyer, who was his girlfriend, mistress, whatever. They were both talking favorably about Hillary Clinton and disrespecting Trump while they were investigating Hillary Clinton. And then when, statement was written about, you know, the acts of the classified emails and sensitive material and stuff being passed and the use of an unsecured server and so on by Hillary Clinton, when they gave that statement for Comey to come out with, they changed the statement, obviously, from what they call it, gross negligence, to extreme carelessness. Gross negligence, a legal term that would, you know, allow for prosecution, to extreme carelessness, so that they could avoid that prosecution. And that's why Comey came out and said, you know, we're not going to pursue this at this time. No reasonable attorney would, you know, pursue this, and so on and so forth. And then you had Lynch, who, you know, then agreed basically after talking with, you know, Bill Clinton on the tarmac while his wife is under investigation. Just scandal after scandal, but yet the Democrats will say there's no scandals. It's like when they say under President Obama there was not a single scandal. Yeah. And, you know, that's, and I believe that pigs fly. I guess they, you know, forget about Operation Fast and Furious and Benghazi and the persecution by the IRS of conservative groups, and there's a number of other things that I could not right off my head think of, but there's a lot of scandal that they refuse to look at and acknowledge. Just like they refuse to acknowledge the fact that, you know, President Obama sucked, but they don't want to, you know, and I'm not just saying that because, he sucked because I didn't like him. You know, when he got elected, I didn't know the man. I didn't hate him. I didn't have nothing against the man. The only thing that I looked at was he didn't have a lot of experience, but, you know, that didn't mean much because, you know, he was a senator for like 3 years or what have you. And you don't have to be a career politician to do a good job. But I just, so we started to watch him and see what he was saying. But he said all kinds of good stuff in his campaign. The difference was he didn't follow through with really any of it. And so that was the difference. But here, you know, Trump is saying, look, you know, crooked Hillary needs to go to jail. She needs to be investigated. Now, documents produced in December of 2017, which were a part of a court-ordered production of documents, the State Department court filing states the State Department identified approximately 2,800 work-related documents among documents provided by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The documents were produced in a May 5th, 2015 lawsuit that Judicial Watch filed against the State Department. And Judicial Watch sued after the State Department failed to respond in March of 2015. The Freedom of Information Act request seeking all emails of official State Department business received or sent by former Deputy Chief of Staff Huma Abedin, and using a non-state.government email address. So anyway, Judicial Watch is on it, and they are the ones, I mean, they're doing a great job of pursuing this because, you know, apparently Jeff Sessions doesn't seem to be doing it. And so we need somebody on this case pushing and pursuing the investigation of Hillary Clinton. And Judicial Watch has previously in the past released 20 productions of documents in this same case concerning Huma Abedin that show examples of the mishandling of classified information and instances of pay to play between the Clinton State Department and the Clinton Foundation, and also about 627 emails that were not part of the 55,000 pages of emails that Clinton turned in. Because remember, she kept saying, well, as far as I know, I didn't turn anything in, as far as she knew. Yeah, that's her little clause for saying, eh, I didn't turn everything in. And so now, you know, this investigation is coming forth. Thank goodness, finally. And not only that, but as far as the Russian dossier is concerned, there is also an investigation being called for by GOP senators. And this is from The Hill. Two Republican senators are asking the Department of Justice to open a criminal investigation into Christopher Steele, the author of a controversial opposition research dossier on President Trump. It's that PP dossier. They call it the fake dossier. Senator Chuck Grassley and Lindsey Graham sent a letter to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein of the FBI Director and the FBI Director Christopher Wray, asking that they investigate if the former British intelligence agent lied to federal authorities. And here's what Grassley stated. He said, I don't take lightly making a referral for criminal investigation, but as I would with any credible evidence of a crime unearthed in the course of our investigations, I feel obliged to pass that information along to the Justice Department for appropriate review. Graham added that after reviewing how Mr. Steele conducted himself in distributing information contained in the dossier and how many stop signs in the DOJ ignored it in its use of the dossier, he says, I believe that a special counsel needs to review this matter. And what they're referring to is that, you know, the fact that they used this fake dossier as a basis to investigate President Trump and Russian collusion, all based on a fake dossier, basically, that was paid for in part by the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, and Hillary Clinton, and partly with, you know, help from a Russian agent. I mean, who's colluding with Russia here? And so the letter is the first known criminal referral from any of the congressional investigations into Russia's election interference. It says, as part of their request, two senators passed along a memo tied to certain communications with Christopher Steele and multiple U.S. news outlets. They did not publicly release the memorandum, which is classified. The referral is the latest sign of partisan splintering of the Judiciary Committee's wide-ranging investigations into Russia, the 2016 election, and potential political interference of the FBI. So, you know, of course, the left is decrying it and Feinstein is crying, decrying it. Oh, I think this is unfortunate. It's clearly another effort to deflect the attention from what should be the committee's top priority, determining whether there was collusion between Trump's campaign and Russia. See, you know, this is not a distraction from that. The Russian collusion investigation is a distraction from this. That's what it is. The whole thing was is that the Hillary Clinton's campaign knew they were the ones colluding and sending emails through unsecured lines, and you had Peter Strzok and all them saying, "Oh, Trump can't win, and we've got to have a plan, and we've got to have an insurance policy against him winning," and so on, and then changing the indictment statements to so that you know she wouldn't get convicted of a crime, basically. So, excuse me, is Trump in danger? Yeah, I believe so, because these people are crazy. The elites are crazy, because what it boils down to is national sovereignty, your freedom, the destruction of the Constitution, and the creation of world government. That's exactly what we're fighting against. I know some people would say, well, that's crazy. That's conspiratorial. That's a conspiracy theory. Well, it isn't a theory because, you know, like I said, in the past, and I've talked about on previous shows and everything, you can go back, for example, and look at David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, and in there he says that, you know, there are many people that accuse me and my family of being internationalist and wanting world government. And he says, if this is what I'm accused of, then I'm guilty and I'm proud of it. Basically, he's saying, yeah, it's right. But see, here's what it is. These elites and these globalists, they want you to think that they're noble and benevolent and that they're doing this for the greater good. But the problem is the end justifies the means in their minds. They think that they can kill off people and they can experiment and give vaccines out and brainwash and mind screw with everybody and just do whatever they want. And in the meantime, they have these initiations for the other elites to try to get them all in the same boat so they commit pedophilia and satanic rituals and murder and all these crazy things that you would think was only fantasy, but is true. And more it's coming out. And people just, they refuse to understand this. And especially on the left, unfortunately, because the mainstream media brainwashes and the educational department brainwashes, because we have fallen under the many planks of the Communist Manifesto, like national health care, national education, central bank, the destruction of private property, and other things. And this is unfortunate. And then to destroy our national identity by flooding us with refugees, destroying our identity, our culture. Because when these refugees come in, it used to be when people would come to Ellis Island and come across the oceans and they would see the Statue of Liberty, they would be so happy and they would be so reverent. And they would come here to the United States, predominantly from the European nations, and they would come and they would create things. Now, yes, you did get mafia, you did get some criminal elements, but you got a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people that came to make the United States better and to assimilate. But now, more and more, these elites who are pushing for a technocracy, scientific dictatorship, they know how to destroy us. And it's through a divide and conquer mentality. And that's what they're trying to do. And now, you know, again, they failed to beat Trump on any other type of with every other kind of scandal that they've brought against him, you know, racism and sexism and whatever other ism they have, and now collusion and all these things, and they failed basically. So now they're trying to get Bannon they say, oh, yeah, I was in the White House and I knew Trump very well. And yeah, he colluded with the Russians. Yes, he's a crazy maniac. Oh, yeah, he's retarded. Oh, he's out of his brain. He's going to blow up the world. You know, this is what they're trying to say. But obviously, it's not. If you really sit down and look at all of the facts, that's not at all what's going on. As far as with Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-un is the crazy nut, socialist hell dictatorship. But yet you got the groups like Antifa here that want to push socialism. And Bernie Sanders, the idiot who has millions of dollars and six homes and his wife's under investigation for money fraud or whatever, and he wants to tell you that I'm going to help the poor people. I'm going to help the poor people. Oh, wait. I'm helping the poor. Oh, the rich, they're making too much money. He's a nutcase. A wacko. And so we don't want that. You don't want socialism. So they got Bannon, who's coming out, and they're basically saying that he had interviews, and that there's tape videos of this, apparently. You know, whether we'll see those or not remains to be seen. But Ann Coulter was on Mark Simone's show, and she had some stuff to say about the Bannon, the whole Bannon situation. I'm going to play a little bit of that and let you hear it.
And I thought, wait, instead of just sending this to five of my friends, how about I send it to all of Twitter? So it's just supposed to be, you know, quick chit-chat, what you'd be emailing to your friends. That's what makes it fun.
And it's supposed to be sassy and funny when Barack Obama tweets out, here's to a prosperous 2018. That's not a good tweet.
Well, one great thing, I was told Trump was sending all of these tweets about Iran the last day. I think it was the first of the year, so right after New Year's Eve. And that wasn't what people were chanting at his rallies. I think it was more something about a wall. And what set Trump apart, I mean, you've probably seen all this news about the Michael Wolff book, all these insider accounts, and the one that's drawing the most attention right now is one of Trump's friends, this Tom Barrack. I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Tom Barrack, like, yeah.
Yeah, I think he spoke at the convention, right? Anyway, he allegedly said what you have to understand, Trump isn't only crazy, he's also stupid. Now, whether or not Barrack said that, every time I hear things like that, I mean, obviously Trump is not stupid. Obviously he is not crazy. But there are a lot of crazy things about him. And the more they push what an unconventional campaign, what an utterly inexperienced campaign he had, his bad grammar and all of that, it just makes the point of his positions even more important. Americans care. He could have been Zippy the Chimp. Just please give us this platter of issues we have been dying to vote on for 30 years, and that was immigration, trade, and no more pointless wars. Those were the major popular issues that Trump was pushing, that no Democrat was pushing, and weirdly, no Republican was pushing either. For 30 years, we've been waiting for a candidate who would care more about Americans than, you know, wither Iran. I promise you, whatever we do or don't do in Iran, the Middle East is still going to be a hellhole when Trump leaves.
Yeah.
He has a shot to save America. That's what he campaigned on. Just shut up about Iran. Not really interesting to us. But somebody told me the good news on this was, I think it was New Year's Eve, and a lot of reporters, I saw reporters wherever I was, and they said, no, that the Iran tweets were too sophisticated. Someone else was doing those tweets, and I was totally relieved. I wanted Trump to get back to tweeting about, like, Rosie O'Donnell. That's fun.
Exactly.
So, you know, the point is here, I do kind of agree with her that Trump needs to stay focused on the policies that he promised, building the wall, cutting immigration. He's done a good, pretty good job of that. And we also need to stay out of these these wars. But at the same time, I understand, like in Afghanistan right now, there has been news that there's going to be 3,000 more troops sent over there due to the fact that they are trying to contain Al-Qaeda and there are elements of ISIS in Afghanistan. Now, whether that's true, I have no way of knowing that specifically, but it's very possible that that is true. So, and they're talking about sending some more troops there. I think it would make it a total of 11,000 troops or something to that effect, to give more effect to the forces fighting against Al-Qaeda, the Afghani forces that are fighting in their own country against the terrorist elements. And so they're using these troops, the American troops, to fortify them primarily in airstrikes, apparently, according to news accounts. Now, I don't necessarily agree that we should be sending more troops. Obviously, we want to get out of there, not stay in there. But we know, too, that Trump is not going to be able to do everything exactly how we want it. But we should try to push him to do that. We should push him hard to do what he promised to do. One of the other things was locking up Hillary Clinton. And again, it's for the sake of justice, not so we can just say, oh, he locked her up. You know, it's not for that reason. It's to bring about justice and set a precedent to tell these globalists, you will not get away with your treason, with your high crimes and misdemeanors and murders and whatever else you're doing. So, but in other news, one other thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that as far as the economy is concerned, things are doing pretty well. CNBC News talks about the Dow closing above 25,000 for the first time after a strong jobs data. It says Dow Jones Industrial Average broke above 25,000 for the first time on Thursday, tying the fastest 1,000-point move in its history following the release of stronger-than-expected jobs data. The 30 stock index climbed 152.45 points to 25,075.13, with General Electric, DuPont, IBM rising about 2%. And it says the Dow hitting 25,000 was a pretty wild idea even a year ago. And while it's symbolically important, the real story is never just a number. It's the underlying strength that is pushing the markets this high, said Steve Clausen, Vice President of Trader Strategy at E-Trade. So, again, here's the thing about that. You know, people are saying Trump is riding on the back of Obama. You know, and that cracks me up because let's play that scenario. They're saying, okay, Trump, you know, the economy doing well right now was because of the results of Obama's 8 years. Okay, so Obama was in for 8 years and basically it was crappy, up and down and volatile. And then all of a sudden his miracle just kicked in during the Trump administration. Finally, the Obama's miracle, messianic miracle took place and the economy's great now. Let's suppose that's true. But let me ask the same people then, if you believe that's the case, what would you have said if, as soon as Trump came in to office and within the first 60 days, the economy just collapsed and jobs just went out the door and the unemployment just skyrocketed? Would you be saying, well, that's a result of Obama's policies? No, you'd be blaming it on Trump. Somehow it would instantaneously be Trump's problem. But since it's such a great economy, it's somehow miraculously Obama's doing. When that's not the case, because I seem to remember all of the prognosticators and the economists who didn't like Trump saying, oh, I can guarantee when Trump gets in office, if he gets in office, the economy is going to tank. It's going to collapse. It's just going to go nowhere. It's going to just totally just blow up. Well, that didn't happen. And it's obviously because they know better. See, that's the point. They were trying to say that it was just going to totally collapse under Trump. Why? Because they knew that Trump would take over the reins and he would affect policy and he would affect the economy. But obviously they were wrong. That's my point. So this is a direct result, as Steve Clausen says, underlying strength that is pushing markets. The Dow broke 24,000 for the first time in November 30th, or just 35 days before hitting 25,000. So it took the Dow only 35 days to rise from 20,000 to 21,000. That's phenomenal. The U.S. private sector also added 250,000 jobs in December. ADP and Moody's Analytics reported before the opening bell, economists polled by Reuters expected a gain of 190,000. They only expected 190,000 jobs, but there were 250,000. The U.S. Treasury yields moved higher after the report was released. The 10-year yield traded at 2.45%, while the 2-year yield rose to 1.96%. And it says this was also a solid number, and with a near-record amount of job openings, maybe more people are coming off the sidelines, enticed by higher wages, which are coming, said Peter Buchvar, chief investment officer at Bleakley Financial Group. Other economic data released Thursday include IHS Market Services, PMI, which is at a seven-month low. These reports will be followed by the Labor Department's monthly jobs report, which is set to release on Friday, it says. But it also says equities are off to a strong start in 2018. On Wednesday, the NASDAQ completed its best two-day start to a year since 2006. Notice that, 2006. It wasn't 2008, it wasn't 2009, it wasn't during Obama's administration. And it says also the major indexes have notched record highs to kick off 2018. Stocks had a strong year in 2017, with the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ rising at least 19.4%. It says the naysayers missed out on a lot last year. And those naysayers were the ones that were saying, oh, if Trump gets in, the sky is going to fall. We're all going to die. The world is going to burn. You know, the economy is going to crash. All the stock market will crash. Everything will crash. These were the prognosticators, I should say. I'm sorry. The naysayers. So doing very well. And here's another report from CNBC. Black unemployment rate falls to record low. And this report was just published only 10 hours ago. Bureau of Labor Statistics reports 6.8% unemployment rate for black workers in December, the lowest in the 45 years the data has been tracked. And unemployment overall is 4.1%, which obviously, again, that's the U3 report. I don't go by that one too much. But unemployment is a lot better with President Trump so far. Unemployment among black workers is at its lowest since at least the early 1970s, when the government began tracking the data. Remember the saying, we are the ones we've been waiting for? Wasn't that under Obama's administration? We're the ones we've been waiting for. No, we weren't. Black unemployment rate of 6.8% in December was the lowest since the Bureau of Labor Statistics started tracking in 1972, a year in which the rate ranged from 11.2% to 9.4%. In the 45 years that the data has been tracked, The unemployment rate for Black or African-American workers age 16 and older has never fallen below 7%. People, come on. But they don't want to give Trump any credit for this, because then that would destroy their you know, agenda to make him look like a racist and a clown and not knowing what he's doing. But right now, if you really think about it, the economy's doing well. We're setting records up and down. Our borders are becoming more and more secure. And we're handling our enemies, and we're making more friends than we ever have for a while anyway. And President Trump has been bold to declare Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But now he's got to follow through and push the embassy to Jerusalem. You can't just say what you're going to do, but you got to do it. Actions speak louder than words. Say little and do much. And that's what President Trump needs to do. And with the wall too. Not just prototypes and so on, but needs to build the wall. And so, you know, that's good. Through last year, the Black unemployment rate rose to 8% in March and then fell back to 7% in September before falling again in December. And the unemployment rate for white workers was 3.7% in December. But now you're starting to see, you know, Black unemployment down to 6.8%, falling, the lowest it's been, 45 years or more. Overall, non-farm payrolls rose 148,000 in December, falling short of the 190,000 expected, according to the data released on Friday. And the national unemployment rate was 4.1%. There was an unexpected loss of 20,000 retail jobs during the holiday season, for whatever reason that was. And I haven't investigated that. But now the other thing is, excuse me, food stamp levels. We know that if you've done any research, but in my research, I think when President Bush Jr. came into office, I think it was at about 17 million people on food stamps. And then I think by the time he left, it rose up to about 27 million. And then Obama came in and it went from 27 million up to 47 million or so, maybe 49 million, somewhere around there. But now food stamp recipients are down 2 million under Trump. And this is according to Fox News. Now, you know, listen, people, I'm trying to show different news sites. So you're not just thinking I'm picking off of one news site. I'm using CNBC, I do Fox News, I do CNN, I do, you know, Washington Times, New York Post, whatever, to show you. I'm getting this from mainstream media. For those of you that, you know, want to say that we're just one-sided or whatever. But since Donald Trump has become president, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has climbed to 25,000 and fewer Americans are unemployed. Another interesting fact, the number of people collecting food stamp has declined by more than 2 million. Data released by the Department of Agriculture shows the number of participants in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps, dropped from 42,182,000 for the fiscal year of 2017, a decline of 2 million from the original total in 2016 of 44 million, went from 44 million to approximately 42 million. And the USDA figures since show that the program has gone from costing taxpayers about $250 million for about 2.8 million recipients in 1969 under President Nixon to a peak costing nearly $80 billion for nearly 48 million recipients in 2013 under President Barack Obama. and the numbers have declined since then, in part because of the booming economy and because some states have restored work requirements needed to qualify for SNAP. And in many cases, the work requirements had been waived because of the recession of 2007 through 9, which that part, you know, might be understandable. You know, we had a crisis, a contrived one, nevertheless, in my opinion, because if you understand the Federal Reserve System, they create booms and busts. They consolidate their power that way. They swallow up the smaller banks and they merge, or they just totally destroy the banks that refuse to. Because the Rockefellers have said the competition is a sin. And this is all part of that consolidation, centralizing, you know, banking systems more and more. Now they got the International Monetary Fund, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, slowly merging these banks into bigger and bigger systems, swallowing up the middle, the little man, just like, you know, the big stores, Walmarts and all these different stores swallowing up the small mom and pop shops, the small entrepreneurs, and so on. But anyway, things are getting better. 2017 figure of 42 million people assisted is the lowest figure since 2010, when the program assisted 40 million people at a cost of taxpayers at $68 billion. President Trump has signaled that he wants to tighten eligibility rules for SNAP and have states contribute matching funds for the program as ways of continuing to reduce the number of recipients from governing.com. So the federal government is also reviewing some rules being considered, it says, on the state level for possible inclusion in federal policy, the website reported. And these include Wisconsin's request to begin drug testing. Now, here's the thing. All these people get upset. Well, oh, why should we have to be drug tested? I mean, if you go out and get an average job nowadays to go get a job and work so you can get money, so you can buy food, they do drug testing. But you're complaining because we're saying we're willing to give free money to people so they can survive and eat. And all we ask is that they be drug tested, because a lot of people are taking these food stamps and so on and doing the 2-for-1 thing. You remember, you know, they'll sell their, for every 2 food stamps, you pay $1. And they sell it and they get cash and then they go buy drugs. Money laundering, in a sense. And so Wisconsin wants to end that. And I don't blame them for that. That's not being racist. But that's the first thing the left would say. Oh, that's racist. How is that racist? Sick and tired of hearing this nonsense about everything is freaking racist. Shut the hell up with your racism. Whatever. It's racist to say that's racist. How dare you? But anyway, Maine's plan for limiting the number of family members who can make purchases using a SNAP card as well. So Maine and Wisconsin are saying, look, drug test, which I think is reasonable. You know, if you want to eat, I mean, the Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he should not eat. Well, we're not saying that. We're saying, hey, people are down on their luck. Sometimes people need help. The government is saying, hey, we're willing to take taxpayer money. The taxpayers are willing to say, hey, yes, we're willing to give you food stamps to help you out. But it's supposed to be a handout, not a hand. Or, you know, a hand, not a handout. It's supposed to be temporary, not permanent. Women are not supposed to be out having 7 children and 10 children so they can get more food stamps. And I'm not, and that's not racist either to say that. People were sick and tired of freeloaders and leeches. That's what it is. If that's what you want to know, sick of it. And we're sick of liberal crybabies just crying and whining and claiming that everybody's violating their rights, so they are justified in taking away everybody else's viewpoints and beliefs and opinions. And if you don't believe the way they believe, you're a racist. Well, go screw yourself. Get off my show, you big dummy, as Mark Levin would say. You know, that's retarded. And I'm sorry if you're offended by that word too, but I'm going to say it. That's retarded. So things are doing better. I think that overall President Trump is doing a good job, but I think that he does need to get back on focusing on building the wall, you know, cutting the immigration down. Don't make deals with DACA for a wall, that nonsense. If it's illegal, it's illegal. These people who are like, well, you're not, you have no compassion. No, you have no freaking compassion. You have no compassion for hardworking American people who were born here, who have the right to be here, and they are the ones working hard, and they deserve to be respected. So take your freeloading butts back over the border if you broke into our country. The hell out. That's what it is. That's not being rude, racist. That's being real. And that's what is going on. We're sick and tired of it. Get out. Kick them out. If they do a crime, lock them up. Kick them out. Do whatever you got to do. Deport, deport, deport everybody who's not here legally. And but you know what? People, they didn't want to listen. You know, President Trump during the campaign was like, look, you know, we can take a look at people who are here, even if they've been illegally here, but they're not breaking the law. And if they are working and they're, you know, they're contributing to the United States, you know, we can make some concessions. We can look at speeding up their citizenship and all this. But no, people don't want that. They want to impeach Trump because he's racist and a misogynist. And, you know, everybody who believes in Trump is believes that Trump is a good president is a racist and whatever. We're sick and tired of it. Whatever you believe, whatever you want. You know, we don't believe Trump is a god. We don't bow down to him. We don't worship him. We simply support him as the president because we want success for the United States. We want the United States to be a sovereign country. We want to get out of entangling and foreign entanglements. We want to secure the borders. These are the things we're fighting for, not so that Trump can be the president or that we can say, oh, we're Republicans, because I'm not a Republican. But anyway, guys, listen, I'm going to sign off, but, you know, I have Six Emperor Tyrannus News website that you can go to, and I have this radio show, We're Hit Radio, and I do videos on YouTube, whether anybody watches them or not. And I do try to take time to do research. Am I always correct? Maybe not. But I think I'm right more than I'm wrong. And so that's a good thing. But I do care about the United States. I care about every American. I care about the liberals as well as the Republican side, the left and the right, and the Democrats and the Republicans or the libertarians and the independents and the Green Party and the Constitutional Party. I care about everyone. But what I don't care to hear is that, you know, the country's racist and we're divided and so on. We're only divided because the mainstream media is perpetuating that propaganda. But for the most part, I go out every day. I see people at the store, black, white, Chinese, Mexican, whoever they are, and we all get along great. And we show great love for one another. We say hello to one another. We hold the door for each other. Hell, I'd buy a coffee for one of them, somebody, if they don't have the money. I mean, that's how Americans work. That's how most of the Americans I see work. They're not running around here talking all this nonsense. You only see that crap on Facebook because people are just have nothing better to do but get on there and troll people. So anyway, look, be good to one another. And for all of you who have stuck by Trump this far, continue to. But also, you know, we have to hold him firm. We do have to hold Congress and the Senate and the House and everybody firm. We want an investigation of Hillary Clinton, of the email scandals, the Uranium One deals. We want investigations of the DNC, all that. They got their little Russian collusion investigation going on. We're sorry that you can't find anything. We can give you a safe space so you can go cry about it. Right? So anyway, look, I'm Mark Matheny for Six Emperor Tyrannus News and We're Hit Radio, and I'm about to sign off, but I'm saying, hey, guys, go to my websites, check them out whenever you want, and I appreciate it, definitely.